Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, South assess the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital has been extremely busy for the past number of days. Up to 3 o'clock this afternoon, 122 people had passed through so far today. Nurses may go on strike later this year if action isn't taken to address unsafe staffing. An emergency motion on the issue passed unanimously at the INMO's conference in Kerry this afternoon. A Donegal-based senator says a taxi driver refused to drop her home because she lived on a halting site. Eileen Flynn, who was raising issues in the Shannon around racism in Ireland, is the only member of the travelling community represented in the Oireachtas. Later in the bulletin, Kenny is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. And because it's a Thursday, we have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That's coming up at around about 5:20. But we begin with a message from Seltha this evening. The emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital has been extremely busy over the past number of days, with high numbers attending. Yesterday saw 195 attendances at the ED. 186 attended on Tuesday. Those high figures have been continuing as of 3 o'clock this afternoon. 122 people had passed through the department today. Many of those, Seltha says, are patients who are very sick and need to be admitted to the hospital for treatment. There is ongoing pressure, they say, on bed availability, and many patients are currently experiencing long waiting times to be admitted from the ED to an acute bed. The hospital is also dealing with significant increases in COVID-19 presentations and admissions. Currently, 19 COVID-positive patients are being treated at LUH. Two wards are in outbreak. Seltha say they continue to ask people to consider other options for non-emergency care, such as out-of-hours GP and pharmacies, before attending the emergency department. Well, a woman had been waiting at least 18 hours to be seen in the ED at the hospital this morning. Mary called the 9 till noon show today. She spoke to Greg and told him that after waiting on a chair overnight, at that point this morning, she still hadn't seen a doctor.
I arrived here yesterday evening at 20 minutes to 6 with a suspected clot in my leg. I did not meet the triage nurse till 9 o'clock. At 9:15, I had an ECG and I got no blood done until 5:40 this morning. I have got no results and I have not seen a doctor yet. So I'm coming in 18 hours waiting here today. There's women here with their children waiting. They haven't got through. There have been no x-rays done. They're still waiting on x-rays yet. It's desperate here. At one stage last night there was 104 waiting. The place is packed now again. They're starting to pile up now again. We're not getting priority from last night. We're just sitting here waiting.
Well, that was Mary speaking to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show this morning. Lots of other stories told on the programme today. It's podcast on our website, highlandradio.com. You can also watch the programme back on our social media channels and also on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. Well, nurses may go on strike later this year if action isn't taken to address unsafe staffing. An emergency motion on the matter passed unanimously at the INMO conference in Kerry this afternoon. It called for all members of the union to be balloted by September unless significant progress is made before then. Members say they need to ensure the catastrophic impact of events endured last winter is not repeated. Well, this afternoon, the chief executive of the HSE said the authority will move away from the winter plan format and create a new system to deal with year-round problems facing the emergency department. The new CEO said the strategy would take place from June, aiming to consistently respond to issues with urgent care. There were 447 people awaiting beds in the hospital's emergency departments this morning, according to the INMO's trolley watch count. Well, the CEO of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, says the new plan won't fix the current issues within EDs, but will, he says, alleviate some of the pressures.
We have to focus, I think, on urgent care critically now throughout the year. So in that context, we're now focused on a plan for the rest of this year, right through the summer and into the winter. It's not going to take away all of the difficulty, but what it will certainly do is put us in a better position to consistently respond.
A Donegal-based senator says a taxi driver refused to drop her home last night because she lived on a halting site. Eileen Flynn was raising issues on racism in Ireland during a hearing at the Shannon. She's the only member of the travelling community represented in the Oireachtas. Senator Flynn said she called the Gardaí to report the fact that the driver was committing a crime. The taxi driver, she said, would then only drop her home if she kept the Gardaí on the line. The Ardra-based representative described her experience in the Shannon earlier today.
If I went down to be the president of Ireland or being a top surgeon or whatever you may want to go on to be, no matter what you are or no matter who you are, to a lot of people, I'm still just a member of the traveller community. I'm still just a pikey, an acker, somebody who came from absolutely nothing. And last night I felt that very, very right to the gut of my stomach, thinking, oh my God, you're never going to be good enough.
The European Central Bank is increasing interest rates by a quarter of 1%. It's the seventh increase in a year and will impact tracker mortgages immediately. Announcing the move, the ECB says inflation continues to be too high for too long. The president of the ECB, Christine Lagarde, has indicated that further interest rate rises may well be on the cards.
Our future decisions will ensure that the policy rates will be brought to levels sufficiently restrictive to achieve a timely return of inflation to our 2% medium-term target and will be kept at those levels for as long as necessary.
In the Dáil this afternoon, Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson and Donegal TD Piers Doherty again called on the government to respond by introducing temporary mortgage interest relief.
People being charged thousands and thousands of euro more than this time last year. Will you finally introduce a temporary and target mortgage interest relief as Sinn Féin has proposed to provide this needed support for them? And if you don't, what do you say to those families? What are you going to do? What type of relief? Or are you just going to wash your hands and abandon them?
The British Prime Minister is being urged to invoke powers to immediately grant planning permission for the A5 following a series of tragedies on the route. Donegal Senator Niall Blaney last night wrote to Rishi Sunak imploring him to give the go-ahead for the vital project immediately. Senator Blaney says it is within the PM's gift.
I spoke to Tanisha last night about it and I've raised it with Shanigan this morning. I've CC'd the Secretary of State Northern Ireland as the Taoiseach and Tanisha and the Minister for Transport. And this is something that the Prime Minister has the power to do. He's done it in the past. And I think it's beyond time this project is looked at very, very seriously. It's by far and away the worst road in the country.
A woman's been viciously assaulted in Derry after attempting to break up a fight between two men. Another woman was subsequently arrested. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
The woman is reported to have been kicked by one of the men involved in the fight, which she tried to break up in the Foyle Street area of the city yesterday evening at around 6:15 p.m. She was further attacked by a woman who dragged her by the hair to the ground. The victim's purse was also taken. A 25-year-old woman has since been arrested on suspicion of common assault, assault on police, criminal damage and disorderly behaviour. She remains in police custody at this time. Sergeant Kyle Irvine has described that incident as a vicious and nasty assault on the woman who was treated at the scene by the ambulance service. Police are appealing to anyone who was in the area at the time and witnessed the attack to come forward.
The Cathaoirleach of the Lifford Stranorer Municipal District says the closure of the Castlefin Credit Union is a huge blow. The Ballybofey and Stranorer Credit Union announced that the service in Castlefin would cease to operate on July 2nd due to the termination of its tenancy at its premises. Efforts are being made to secure an alternative building. Councillor Patrick McGowan says it's another example of the loss of a vital service.
No matter what the service is in any town or village, we don't want to see anything lost. And I'm sure now, hopefully anyway, that some building will come forward, because I know from speaking to a number of people in and around Castlefin, they certainly would be very eager to see that facility remain there.
We'll stay in that wider area, and a public meeting will take place in Killygordon tomorrow evening to discuss the future development of the village and its environs. The event at the Oak Tree Community Centre will include the provision of feedback on the various grants and funding obtained to date and how they will benefit the local community directly. There will also be an update on the current plans for the area and an opportunity for the community to let Cake, Crossroads and Killygordon Enterprise know what they'd like to see developed. Cathy Burns is chair of the community planning group in Crossroads and Killygordon. She says the involvement of the local community is key to ensuring they get their strategies right.
It's the community's plan. We are a bunch of sort of dedicated volunteers who seek to pull together the community's voice in that vision for Crossroads and Killygordon. And it was important that we held our initial meetings and looked at, you know, a workshop format that really allowed people to voice their concerns, to voice their challenges, but also to celebrate what it is that matters to them most about their local area and their local community. And that's very much reflected in our community plan.
A West Donegal councillor believes footage of illegal dumpers should be posted on social media as a deterrent. It's after rubbish, including a chair, a strimmer and a children's pushbike, were discovered discarded close to Muckish Grotto. Councillor Michael McClafferty previously called for CCTV cameras to be installed at flight tipping hotspots. He says those responsible need to be called out.
I do feel like I've asked for before, we're going to have to go down the road with cameras and just check these culprits, because catching them and finding them, and indeed possibly as well, Michaela, going further than that, putting the recordings up on social media might not be a bad idea to act as a deterrent to stop the rubbish dumping.
And the Dáil's been told that a decade after evidence began to emerge of defective blocks in Donegal, it's unbelievable that some quarries still haven't been audited and inspected. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin was speaking during a debate on the second stage of the Construction Safety Licensing Bill, which concludes provision for inspection of quarries and training for their employees. Deputy McLaughlin urged the government to ensure that the mistakes of the past are never repeated.
So what I'm asking is, in terms of this legislation, that we absolutely ensure, in terms of quarries, that they can never ever produce defective concrete blocks again, that they absolutely comply with Irish law, European law, and that every effort is made to oversee them, get access to the quarries, train them, apply the law rigorously. That's the least that you can do to repay the debt to the thousands and thousands of families whose lives have been destroyed because of the failures of the past.
For training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
14 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock. Good evening, Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Sean Dyche has raised fresh doubts that Seamus Coleman could miss next month's Euro 2024 qualifiers. The Republic of Ireland captain said he avoided serious damage to his knee despite being stretchered off against Leicester. But Dyche says Coleman is unlikely to play again this season due to that injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going to keep him out. You know, it's still a ligament injury that needs sorting out, but it's not. Obviously, everyone feared it was ACL, and it's not. So that's good news, and good news for him.
Elsewhere, Evan Ferguson remains a doubt for Brighton ahead of tonight's Premier League meeting with Manchester United. The Republic of Ireland striker missed Brighton's last two league games and the FA Cup semi-final defeat to United through injury. Kick-off tonight at the Amex is at 8 o'clock. And Huddersfield can secure their place in the Championship this evening. Neil Warnock's side need a point against already promoted Sheffield United to make sure they avoid relegation. Should Huddersfield get that point, it'll mean Reading will be relegated to League One along with Blackpool and Wigan. Back at home, it's understood Liam Buckley is unlikely to become the new manager of Cork City. The former St Patrick's Athletic boss was appointed as the club's sporting director yesterday, but he's not believed to be on the running to succeed Colin Healy as first team manager after the Cork native stepped down last night. Meanwhile, ex-Northern Ireland manager Ian Barraclough has been linked with the managerial position at St Patrick's Athletic. The Inchy O'Core club are on the lookout after Tom Clancy left the club earlier this week. There was a couple of important schools games today in the FAI School's first year girls Ulster final. Loretto Community School of Milford were defeated by Mavill Community College by 3-1. And in the FAI School's first year boys National Cup semi-final, there was victory for Scullwarra Buncrana over St Binlada's College Stillorgan by 1-0. There's one game in the Glencairn and Saturday League Division 1 this evening. Donegal Town, they're due to play Strand Rovers. In rugby, three Letterkenny Rugby Football Club representatives will feature for the Ulster Girls Sevens at the upcoming Interprovincials. Ruby Spear and Kate Farrell will be part of the Under-16s, while Holly Porter will also be lining out for the Under-18s. The girls were selected after a series of open trials. The Inter-Pros will be held over the weekends of the 13th and the 20th of May at the IRFU High Performance Centre in Dublin. And elsewhere in rugby, Dwayne Vermeulen could be playing his final match for Ulster tomorrow night. The province have confirmed the Springbok number 8 is to leave at the end of the season. Vermeulen's been named on the back row for Ulster's URC quarter-final with Connacht at the Kingspan Stadium. Rory Sutherland and Jeff Tumaga-Allen are also confirmed to depart. They will also start on the front row tomorrow night. Bundy, Aki and Mac Hansen, they're set to return to fitness to bolster the Connacht back row. There's also starts for hooker Dave Heffernan and blindside Seamus Hurley-Langton. And former All Blacks head coach John Mitchell has been appointed in the same role for England's women's team. Simon Middleton stepped down from the position following their Grand Slam win last month. In golf, after 3 weeks off, Rory McIlroy's made an encouraging start at the Wells Fargo Championship. With three holes left to play in his open round, he's 3 under par and just 2 shots off the course leader, Kevin Streelman. Seamus Power is 1 over with 5 to play, while Shane Lowry's first round gets underway very shortly. And Tom McKibben leads the Irish Challenge on day one of the Italian Open. He's in the clubhouse on 1 under par after a round of 70. John Murphy shot a level par round of 71. Out in the course, Gary Hurley's 3 over with 3 to play. And a round of 8 under par, 63, means Mathieu Pavon of France, he leads the way on 8 under par. And finally, for today, this week on The Score, our League of Ireland chat is with former Finn Harps skipper Declan Boyle. Karen Guthrie looks ahead to the Donegal Ladies Championship clash with Armagh. And we hear from the Derry Under 20 hurling camp ahead of their All-Ireland final against Roscommon on Saturday. And Inishowen Rugby Club, they're celebrating 50 years this weekend. Emma Keogh will outline what the plans are to mark the occasion. That's The Score, which is on after 7 o'clock news. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, it's a Thursday. That means it's time for Farming News and Views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about concerns being raised by Macra and the Firma about issues in rural Ireland and the fact that only 1 in 16 farmers are under 35. But first, major supermarkets have slashed the price of milk and butter this week. However, while the consumer might be happy, farmers are concerned that they are the ones being hit and are facing lower margins. Barney Murphy is news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal and has been telling me more.
Yeah, you can hit the nail on the head there with the concerns, Chris. So it's the IFA and farm organisations that have come out quite strong in this one to say the sole loser in these butter and milk price cuts is the farmer. You would have seen the major supermarkets Aldi, Lidl, Supervalue and Tesco cut the price of butter by 40 cent per pound there overnight on shop shelves this morning. So that's bringing your pound of butter to 454 gram block from 339 to 299, and then an equivalent cut of 14 cent on the half pound butter as well. So really, I suppose Tesco were first out perhaps yesterday morning to announce this price, and it was soon followed by the rest of them, and they've all kind of cut it the same. And you had last weekend then a price of about 10 cent on the cost or the price of shop price of a 2 litre carton of milk. So both the milk and the butter being cut this week, and you know, the supermarkets came out to say, look, they were delighted and, you know, pleased to announce these price cuts to make savings for their for the consumer and their customers. But ultimately, I suppose the farmer as the price taker is going to see the hit here. Dairy farmers have seen milk prices reduced in the region of 15 to 20 cents since the start of the year, you know, across January, February, March, a 5 to 6 cent cut per month. And that's, I suppose, off the back of reducing demand for milk and increasing supply globally. But again, it's not good news for them at this point.
And of course, the farmers who are supplying the milk, their own inputs, their costs have been shooting up over the past couple of years. So their costs are going up, so they can ill afford to take less at the farm gate.
That's it exactly. So, you know, it's an input or a cost squeeze here or a margin squeeze on the farmers. You know, while the price of that the farmers being paid for the milk is coming down, the cost of producing it is staying the same. And, you know, and someone said to me, kind of maybe not from outside the farming community earlier today, just for sure, you know, the cost, how can the cost of grass change, for example? And I suppose it's not the grass, it's the inputs that are going to grow in the grass, it's the fertilizer. And we have a piece of Irish Farmers Journal this week looking at the kind of across the first 3 months of the year, there was a €300 difference in the price of fertilizer here in Ireland and in the UK. So that while the cost of fertilizer is coming down, it's not coming down at the same rate as milk prices. You also see meal prices staying high into the summer. Energy, labour, all those cost inputs have seen significant inflation since the war in Ukraine and have kind of stayed high. And they've, I suppose, the farmers would hit at both ends. It's costing more to produce the milk and they're receiving less for it. But it is just really interesting, I suppose, the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association represent dairy farmers nationally, Chris, and You know, they're calling for the 40-cent butter and the 10-cent on the milk, those price cuts to be incorporated and to be taken into out of the supermarket's margin. And the reality is that that probably won't happen. The farmer is and has always been the price taker here, and you can see that price cut and push right back down the chain. It's really interesting to talk to some of the supermarkets yesterday, or the inability to talk to them. They really closed the door and kind of batten down the hatches and don't want to speak to farmers on this. They like to, I suppose, look, that the supermarkets are part of the agri-food chain, the agri-food supply chain, but they kind of like to step out of it when it doesn't suit them. And they just didn't have a line yesterday or since in terms of, you know, a reaction or comment on farmer concerns in relation to butter prices and dairy and milk prices.
Well, we will watch this space, and it'll be interesting to see if it develops into a full-blown price war and if further cuts come. Just before we let you go, Barry, there's a new national liming programme. The government set aside about 8 million for it. It's been vastly oversubscribed, and if everybody who applied for it got paid, I think the government would need some 72 million. So the sum's not adding up. Good news in one way, but how are we going to square the circle?
Yeah, the sum's not adding up at all, Chris. Again, look, the lime scheme, it's brought in by the department, I suppose, to incentivize farmers to spread lime on their land, you know, with the idea of maybe could use a little bit less fertilizer, which in turn better for the environment and, you know, also better for the farmer's pocket. So they're trying to incentivize farmers to go out and buy lime and spread it on their land. And you can get it at, it's a 16 euro per ton lime scheme, but it's been vastly oversubscribed. It closed at the start of this week, and 41,000 farmers applied for it. It had a budget of 8 million. If all 41,000 farmers got the scheme, it would require, as you said, a budget of 72 million. So it's going to be a very difficult one. There's either going to be farmers kind of getting very little out of it at all, having, you know, if they accept all farmers, it's going to be, everyone's going to get very little, or if they exclude some farmers, those who are in the scheme might get the payments, and, you know, that would actually be worth their while, and others might get anything at all. But it's going to be a difficult one for the minister to kind of figure out.
And that was Barry Murphy, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Only one in 16 farmers in Ireland are under 35, and there are growing concerns about keeping young people in rural Ireland. Macrina Ferma, the voluntary organisation representing some 10,000 young people between the ages of 17 and 35, organised a walk last week from Kildare to government buildings in Dublin to highlight a range of issues. I've been speaking with Caoimhe Cusack-Smith, Donegal MACRA chairperson and representative on its national council, to find out more.
Thank you for having me on, Chris. Yeah, I suppose MACRA, we consider ourselves a young farmers organisation, and that's our bread and butter and our roots. But we're also, I suppose, very much a rural youth organisation, and I suppose over the years we've done a lot towards supporting young farmers, and certainly there's more to be done. And I suppose our push this last while, certainly with the walk, was to promote and represent the needs of rural Ireland and to protect our future within our communities. And I suppose want to be part of the solution going forward.
And the walk, the reason why it was from Athy in County Kildare is you can trace back the MACRA roots to that town.
That's it, exactly, yes. MACRA started up, I suppose, the first clubs or that were back in 79 years ago, and right there in Athy, I think, was the very first club.
Yeah. Now, arising from the walk, some of those in attendance met Leo Varadkar, and MACRA sees itself very much as being part of the solution by offering ideas of how to improve things, which is going to be vital for rural communities going ahead.
Certainly, I suppose, you know, in terms of our population, in terms of MACRA, certainly there's a large contingency of their young farmers, but there's actually, I suppose, as might be expected, a lot of us coming from different ends of the community in terms of our work sectors and that, and I suppose we wanted to bring our experience and voice to that as well. You know, certainly some of the areas that we talked to, that were brought, I suppose, to Leo Varadkar and his colleagues for looking at things like affordable housing, planning issues. Many of us are actually experiencing that, going through that for our own selves at the moment, or being through it. We talked about lack of public transport, lack or disjointed healthcare services within our communities. And I suppose the biggest thing being that there's plans being made for rural Ireland without these plans be informed by its current inhabitants? And I suppose that was something that we wanted to kind of have her spoken and kind of highlight. And I suppose, again, not forgetting our young farmers, there's a number of things brought up there as well that we want to kind of keep in their mind for us.
Now, MACRA has been long established as a lobbying group. And here in Donegal, tell us a little bit about just how many clubs are currently active.
Yeah, at the moment, we currently have four different clubs. So we have Inishone, we have Rafoe, we have one in Letterkenny, and the new one recently established down the site Donegal referred to itself as Donegal Bay, and I suppose they are predominantly in the Ballyshannon area. And I suppose over the coming weeks, we're hoping to kind of set up a few information like in the kind of east and the west, again, if to see if there are interest in getting involved over there with an information night on Dunloe on the 12th of May and an information night on the 18th of May in Stranorlar.
And that was Caoimhe Cusack-Smith, the Donegal MACRA chairperson. In other news this week, 269 Donegal farmers will receive a total of almost €58,000 between them under Gloss Plus balancing payments, which commenced this week. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The forecast, Amateur and Tellus, there'll be some further outbreaks of rain this evening and tonight. Heaviest early on with mist and fog in some areas also. Lowest temperature 7 to 9 degrees Celsius, light southerly or variable breezes. Rain slowly clearing tomorrow morning with sunny spells and scattered showers developing in most areas. The showers becoming heavier in the afternoon and early evening with the potential for some local thunderstorms. Mild and humid with top temperatures tomorrow 14 to 17 in light southerly or variable breezes. Looking at the main story, SAILTA says the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital has been extremely busy over the past number of days with high numbers attending. Yesterday saw 195 people, 186 attended on Tuesday. Up to three this afternoon, 122 people had passed through the department. Nurses may go on strike later this year if action isn't taken to address unsafe staffing. Meanwhile, the new chief executive of the HSE is saying they will abandon the idea of a winter programme and adopt a year-round process to improve the situation in emergency departments. A Donegal member of the Shannon says a taxi driver refused to drop her home because she lived on a halting site. Eileen Flynn, who has been raising issues around racism in the Shannon Chamber, is the only member of the travelling community represented in the Oireachtas. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with local news again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 4th of May. The sudden death has occurred at his home of Philip McCallion, Meantahalla, Illies, Ballymagan, Buncrana. His remains are en route to his late home. Funeral on Sunday, leaving at 10 o'clock for 11 o'clock Mass in St Mary's Church, Cockhill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Bella Gill, Naomi Gee, St Columbkill Village and formerly of Lagahuri, Isle of Doe, Clonmany and Derry Beg. Her remains will repose at St Columbkill Village Oratory from 2 o'clock until 8 o'clock tomorrow. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:30, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock with burial afterwards in the new cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu of desire to St Columbkill Village, care of any family member or Comiskey Funeral Directors. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Sister Margaret Mary McGreed, St Catherine's Convent of Mercy, Ballyshannon, formerly of Tarrisalla, Omagh, County Tyrone. Reposing at St Catherine's Convent of Mercy, Ballyshannon until 6 o'clock today. Removal tomorrow morning to St Patrick's Church for Mass of the Resurrection at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the Abbey Assaro Cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the St Patrick's Church Restoration Fund, care of Patrick McKenna Funeral Directors. Sister Margaret Mary's funeral mass will be streamed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of James Tees, Durable, Manor Cunningham. Family, friends and neighbours welcome to his niece Hilary Thompson's home at Durable Manor Cunningham. Funeral at 2:30 tomorrow in Hilary's home, followed by burial in Refro Presbyterian Burial Ground. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Breage, Huey John Tennyson, née Gallagher, Glasgow and formerly of Baltony, Gortha Hawk. Her remains will repose at the family home tomorrow evening from 5 until Rosary at 9. Funeral Mass in Christ the King Church, Gortha Hawk on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock with interment afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of Bernard Ward, Burton Port. His remains will repose at Midlands Funeral Home, Dunlow, today with rosary at 8 o'clock, followed by private removal to his home. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Columba's Church with interment afterwards in Belcritch Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Dunlow Community Hospital. House private, please, after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Jimmy Bradley, Munya, Linsford, Buncrana. His remains will repose at Porter Funeral Home, Minagori, from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30. Going to Star of the Sea Church, Desert Hegney, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial in the adjoining graveyard. The death has taken place of John McGrory, 9 St Oliver's Avenue, Buncrana, formerly of Drumandura. John's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Elsie Crompton, née Burke, late of Coronation Park, Sion Mills, reposing at her daughter Liz Pierce's home at 8 Coronation Park, Sion Mills. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for service of Thanksgiving in Sion Mills Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Ardstraw New Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Melmount Manor Residents Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Vivette Rowland, née McCormick, Swords, County Dublin, originally of Maharatlaher, Derrybeg. Remains reposing at the family home in Maharatlaher, with wake until 8 o'clock this evening. Rosary at 8. House private, please, after the rosary and before the funeral tomorrow. Funeral mass in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, tomorrow morning at 11, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.